Going to bring you a brief challenge from God's Word. If you turn to John chapter 20, I want to kind of pick up where I left off on Wednesday night, dealing with this subject of what have they done with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked and quoted from several different articles related to some of the statistics that are happening today about how that people who believe in the Christmas story and all of the events, the virgin birth, the angels that came and spoke to the shepherds, the fact that he was born in a manger, those are kind of things that are diminishing in the belief of people in our society today. And we said that the reason for that is because we cannot accept the authority of God's Word. The authority of God's Word. And we found this statement that was made by Mary in verse 13, where we read, "And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight as we look at this simple challenge from your word. I pray that you would help us to understand that indeed they have not taken thee away. They have ignored thee. You are at the right hand of our Father making intercession for us this very moment. And we thank you for that. And we pray in your name that you'd work in our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. We looked at last Wednesday about how they have taken away Christ, and I want to look at tonight why they have taken away Christ. Lord willing, either Wednesday night or next Sunday, we'll take a look at the third aspect of this, but why have they taken away Christ? What is all behind that? Well, I want us to think about this phrase that appears three times in the Bible. Rock of offense. That phrase appears three times in the Bible. It appears in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14. It appears in the New Testament in Romans 9:33 and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. And I want to read those verses from 1 Peter 2. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Now think about that. Is he precious to you tonight? "Unto those who believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Twice in that phrase we find disobedience in regard to the rock. It's a rock of offense because they are disobedient to that. Now, what is that? When a child is disobedient, they're being disobedient against authority. It's an authority that gave a command or issued a command, and they didn't do it, they disobeyed. When the Lord gave the command in the Garden of Eden, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," that was the only negative in the whole place. There were no other restrictions. "Thou shalt not eat of the tree." And what did they do? They went against authority. Eve was deceived by the serpent, but Adam willingly ate of the fruit, the Bible says. And as a result of his disobedience, sin passed upon all men. Why do people reject the Lord Jesus? It's because they despise his authority. They despise his authority. I want you to think with me for just a moment. Matthew 26 verses 66 through 67 shows how they treated our Lord Jesus Christ. They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." They did spit in his face and buffeted him. In other words, they beat him. "And others smote him with the palms of their hands." Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid my face from shame and spitting." That comes from the Amplified. John 19 verses 1 through 3, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands." That's how they treated our Savior. And by the way, we would have done the same thing. been in the same circumstances, we'd have done the same thing. Because this was a mob mentality that did this. Why? Why did they mistreat him so? Because they despised that he said he was king of the Jews. They despised him. You're not a king. You're from Nazareth. You're no king to us. You're not the Messiah. Though he had given God's stamp of approval in the miracles that were performed at Galilee and at Jerusalem and just a few days before at Bethany, where the Lord performed miracles, he gave his stamp of approval and they rejected him outright. They wanted nothing to do with him. Isaiah 52 and verse 14, "And many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred, disfigured, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." He was so disfigured by the cruelties that were performed upon him. Why? Because they despised his authority. "And they that passed by the cross of Christ railed on him," the Amplified says in Mark 15, verses 29 through 31, "wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, but himself he cannot save." Isaiah 53 and verse 3, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Did you get that "we" that was in that statement? You know, that's a corporate use of that particular word. That includes us, because we were born in a sinful state. Sinful mankind has always despised and rejected Jesus, only they are more open about it today. The sinful heart of mankind does not want Jesus. Man wants religion. Why is there so many different religions? Because man wants religion and he wants to tailor it according to his own interests, but they don't want Jesus, because that means I have to follow what he says, and I don't want him telling me what to do. You know, so many times we see how in this world people reject authority. We've seen this in all kinds of things going on in the politics all around us. We see it all around the world, where lawbreakers go and do their thing. People cheat each other. People tell lies about each other on social media. They say things that aren't true or repeat something that was told them, but they didn't get the facts, they just repeated it. Listen, folks, we need to understand something. To submit to God means that we submit to His Son. His Son is going to rule and to reign. And I'm so thankful tonight that even though the world rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and His power and His authority, and in that rejection they will spend all eternity in a place called the lake of fire, but in His grace and in His mercy, He has called forth one here and one there who will obey, who will come to Him, who will listen to His voice, who will hearken unto His words. "Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? "I will give you rest. I will give you rest." Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. When we sit in awe in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me before the foundation of the world, before I was ever thought of here on this earth, He said, "I'm going to die for the sins of Todd Brainerd that will live thousands of years into the future." Let me tell you something, that's a caring God that knows us by our name and even knows how many hairs we have on our head. And even those that don't have any hairs on their head. God knows. God knows. Because He loves us and He cares for us. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. What a blessing it is to our hearts. We pray, dear Father, that You would bless Your Word. We know that the world has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ by and large. But there are people that are trusting in Jesus Christ. Young people who are hearing the gospel maybe for the first time, who turn from their sin and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Maybe someone in a nursing home, or maybe someone on a mountain in the Philippines, that hear the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and turn away from their sin and turn to the living God. What a glorious gospel that you have left for us. And we thank you, Father, that we can come to thee. And we pray, Father, that you would bless our time as we finish this service tonight. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.